Good morning. That was lovely. Thank you, Deb. That was beautiful. Very, very, very just filling. This morning, welcome home. We missed last week. Lucky this week we didn't have a lesson planned for this week, so we got to just move last week's lesson up to this week, which is great. So this morning we're going to be talking about El Shaddai. Sue Edwards entitles this lesson In the Shadow of the Shaddai, which is lovely, but I think after getting done with this lesson, I thought my own title for this lesson is Who Do You Trust? So let's bow our heads in prayer before we begin. Lord God, Heavenly Father, Father, we give this time to you. We know that we love you, Lord. We know that our fondest wish is to glorify your holy name. And so I pray this morning, Lord, that you would allow us to do that, that you would hear our faithful hearts and minds, and that you will fill us, that you will fill us with your Spirit, that we may have a better understanding of, Lord God, just who you are and how much we can indeed trust you. And I just pray this morning, Lord, that you would guide the words of your servant this morning and that your name will be glorified. Amen. As you know, I like humor. I love humor, actually. I think it's been a defense of mine ever since I was a little kid. If I could get my mother laughing, she wouldn't punish me so much. So I love humor. But I also love this little book by Ken Davis. It's Lighten Up and Live. And so this morning I'm going to read you one of his little passages here, a little story. It's not so much humorous this morning as it is, I think, thoughtful. So it's entitled, Who's Driving? A guy was hitchhiking on a very dark night in the middle of a downpour so powerful he could hardly see a few feet ahead. Suddenly a car slowly came toward him and stopped. Blinded by the rain and darkness, he just jumped into the back seat and closed the door, and then realized that there was nobody behind the wheel. The car started moving slowly and then headed straight toward a curve. He started to pray, begging for his life. He was scared to death. And just before the curve, a hand suddenly appeared through the window and moved the wheel. The guy, paralyzed in terror, watched how the hand appeared every time the car approached a curve. Summoning all his courage, the man jumped out of the car and ran to the nearest town. He stumbled into a restaurant and he told everyone there what had happened. It got very quiet in the restaurant. They realized, you know what, we think this guy's serious. About a half an hour later, two guys walked into the same restaurant. They were looking for a table when one said, Hey, look, John, that's the guy who got in the car while we were pushing it. Can you look back and see where the hand of God has helped steer you in the right direction? And he ends with this lovely, our favorite quote from Proverbs. You can say it with me if you know it, and I bet you do. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your paths straight, right? Well, this morning I was going to start with an explanation of El Shaddai, but I don't have to. Deb did a beautiful job. You know, as she explained to you, El is God in Hebrew, and Shaddai is almighty or all-sufficient. And so the title of this lesson is Under the Shadow of the All-Sufficient God, right? So as we've been studying this book of Proverbs, we are constantly being reminded of the need for us to secure wisdom, right? That's what Proverbs is about. Proverbs is the book of wisdom. And each week, I don't know if you've noticed, but each week we've been talking about a benefit that we get from gaining God's wisdom. So this week, our benefit for pursuing wisdom is to receive the gift of feeling safe and secure in the care of our sovereign Lord. So this morning, I thought a good place to begin would be to just remind ourselves of who this God, this El Shaddai, is. So if you will look at your handouts that I've put on your tables, this side, it should be a two-sided handout, but on this side is this little exercise that we're going to do this morning. I hope you all have a pencil or a pen. If you don't, please get one out. And so if you'll notice, I took a course at seminary once with a Dr. Davis, and he made us memorize all of the attributes and characteristics of God. Well, he had 17 of them. There's probably even more than that. So he made us memorize these 17 attributes and characteristics. But not only did we have to memorize these, we also had to memorize a passage in, from Scripture that would go along with either the attribute or the characteristic. So we had to also memorize 17 Bible verses. And I'll tell you a little story. At the, I had trouble figuring out which is an attribute and which is a characteristic. What's the difference? Aren't they all the same? And so as he would be lecturing us, I keep this in my head. Oh, they're all the same. They're all the same. Well, didn't he on the exam say, just list the attributes and then give me the Bible verses? And I thought, now how am I going to do this? Because I can't remember which is which. So I very cleverly, I thought, he gave me credit. I said, well, dear Dr. Davis, I have studied all of these 17 characteristics and attributes and memorized 17 Bible verses, so I'm going to give you all of them today. And he gave me credit. But now I know the difference. What an attribute is, an attribute that we have listed here, are those qualities of God that are divine. We could never attain to these attributes. They're just God's alone. But the characteristics are qualities of God that we could attain to. Our goals would be to be these things, and we humanly are capable. So what I've done is I've listed them at the top of the page. The attributes are he is independent, he's spiritual, he's immutable. Do you know what that means? Unchanging, right. Thank you, Marnie. He's eternal, he's simple, he's omnipresent, he's omnipotent, he's omniscient. We can't be any of those things, but the characteristics are we can be faithful, truthful, wise, loving, gracious and merciful, holy, patient, righteous and just, and good. So what I've done is I have listed Bible verses that go along with each of those either attributes or characteristics, and but I didn't do them in order. So I would like you to do, I'm going to give you the next 3 or 4 minutes, go through this list and read each Bible verse, please, and then write the word on the line next to it that you think is corresponding with that either attribute or characteristic. Do you see what I'm saying? I'll tell you what the first one is. I'll give you a hint. The first one, because you, God, do not change and your years will never end. So we just talked about the word immutable means unchanging. So you would have written immutable in that space. So I'll give you a couple of minutes to go through. It's not really that hard, I hope. And when you look up to me, I'll know when you're done. You could do it as a group project, you know. Everybody at your table, you could work together. Everybody take one. Yeah. But remember, you can only use an attribute or characteristic once. You can't repeat it.
For those that are listening to this recording on our website, just fast forward at this point in time.
Thank you. We should have that nice music, El Shaddai music, playing. You don't have to look up verses. They're already written there on your page. You're just trying to figure out which verse goes with which characteristic or attribute.
Thank you, Sue.
You're welcome. One more minute. Okay, our time is up. Whether you finished or not, we're going to go through the whole list together anyway. All right. Did any of you get to the end? Great. Oh, you speedy demons. You're wonderful. Three people got to the end. Well, let's look at them all, okay? Because you're love, the second scripture from Psalm 63, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. What did you put for that? Love. Loving. Thank you. Great. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. What did you put for that one? Independent, that could be. It certainly could be. Simple. That's what I had. But independent would work too, but it just means that later on down the list you're not going to have the right word in the right place. But simple. God is simple. He is just one. The next one. I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves and be holy, because I am holy. This is pretty easy. Thank you. That's a holy. Next one. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give an account. What's that one? Omniscient. Great. Omniscient. He sees everything. He knows everything. The next one, sanctify them by the truth. Your word is true. What do you think? Truthful, maybe? Very good. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and truth. God is spirit. Spiritual? Good. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. What is that? He is patient. Good. Thanks. How many are your works, O Lord? In wisdom, you made them all. Omnipotent, but it also could be wise. Your wisdom made them all. Next one, because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive. It is by grace you have been saved. Graceful and merciful. Great. Now, oh, this is a really hard one, guys. Now to the King eternal, mortal, invisible, and only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And eternal, to the King eternal. Just look for the key words. This one, God is not served by human hands, as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. Key words here, he is not served by anyone. What is he? Independent. But will God really dwell on earth? The heavens even, the highest heaven, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I've built. The heavens can't even contain you. Yeah, omnipresent. Thank you. Great. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Faithful. Thank you. Faithful. The Lord is good, and his I'll read it again for you. He's good, and you know, you could have put that down as good. His love endures forever, but his faithfulness continues through all generations. The next one, the Lord is good. That's pretty simple, huh? To those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him out. And I think this is probably where you'd want to put the good. The Lord is good. This one, great is our God and mighty in power. His understanding has no limits. Right. Omnipotent, mighty in power. And then the last one, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. That's pretty simple. Righteousness and justice, right? And just. Well, the reason that I did this little exercise is because I think the subject of this lesson today is about trusting in El Shaddai, trusting in God Almighty. And sometimes when we have moments in our lives where we need an extra measure of trust, if we go back to a list like this, I mean, how can you not trust someone that we just described this way in these 17 different ways? And maybe you could even, you know, add more to this list of characteristics and attributes. I do believe, I'm convinced that how we deal with real life issues depends on how well we know God. Right? You agree? How we deal with real life issues depends on how well we know God. So let me give you an example of this. Two Old Testament folks, men, King David and the Apostle Judas. Now we all know what Judas did. You know, when he realized that he had betrayed the Son of God, the Messiah, and turned him over to be killed, what did Judas do? He couldn't bear to look at his own sin. And so Scripture tells us that he hung himself. Now, when we look at King David's example, now David had done sinful things too. You remember the incident with Uriah, that he, you know, had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba. She's now pregnant. He's got to get rid of Uriah, so he has him killed in battle. You know, but what did David do? He approached God with confession and repentance. He and God forgave him. Who would you say of these two men knew God better? David, of course. David, Judas had no faith in God's mercy and forgiveness. He had forgotten who God was. But David, on the other hand, knew that God was bigger than his own sin. He knew that God was a God of mercy and grace, and that by confessing and repenting that God would forgive him. Judas's lack of faith in God's forgiving nature determined his eternal fate in that critical hour. David went on to write in Psalm 9, "The Lord is a refuge for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. Those who know your name, Lord, will trust you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you." David remembered who God was. So where do you turn? Where do we all turn when we have times of need? Let's look at some of the promises and some of the proverbs that you looked at in today's lesson. Proverbs 1:33 says, "Whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm." Proverbs 2:8 says, "He guards the course of the just and protects the way of his faithful ones." Proverbs 28:18 says, "He who walks blamelessly will be delivered." And even Psalm 91 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty." That's where Sue Edwards got the title for this lesson. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty, the shadow of El Shaddai. Now, when you read, and as I read those verses, I think these verses kind of fly in the face of reality, don't they? We know that there are real hardships in this world. We don't live in a perfect world. And no matter how hard we try, maybe to be faithful and blameless, We will not escape hardships, pain, or even eventual death. Look at the Lord's apostles. John was the only apostle of the 12 who lived to be to an old age and died a natural death. Paul was beheaded. Peter was crucified upside down. Andrew was crucified on an X-shaped cross. James was the first to be martyred, and he was beheaded. Philip was stoned to death. Nathanael was whipped to death. Matthew was burned at the stake. Thomas was run through with a sword. James the Lesser was crucified, and Judas, the son of James, not the Judas we just talked about, he was clubbed to death. These were all faithful and blameless men. But Paul said, Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? And Jesus assured us all in John 16, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, yes, indeed, you will have tribulation, but take courage because I have overcome the world. Jesus acknowledges and recognizes evil exists in this world. He, better than anyone, experienced the evil in this world when we nailed him to that cross. Yet he still said, stick with me. Don't lose hope. I will give you peace in the midst of it. Now, in today's lesson, Sue Edwards kind of directed us to Psalm 91. We didn't include that in your lesson studying for today because of the length of the lesson. The lesson would have been quite long, so we suggested that you just look at the seven questions in the main part of her text. But some of you may have looked at Psalm 91. I know I did, and I studied it a little. And I think I realized why I think she directed us to it. When I first read it, it seemed the psalmist was saying that nothing will ever harm you if you just remain faithful and blameless. In Psalm 91, verses 14 to 16, the psalmist said, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him, I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. For long life I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. What is God promising here? Is he promising that we will never experience any kind of harm? Is he promising that we will always be delivered from evil? No. God is saying, I will be with you when you have trouble. I will protect you, but nothing will destroy our relationship. Nothing will destroy our relationship. That means that we can depend on God, who God is, because we know his character. I think this message of Psalm 91, although we will experience, obviously, tribulation and even death, that God's faithfulness will be our safe place. That's what it's all about. God can be our safe place. Safety is found by taking refuge in the name of the Lord. Now, talking about safe places, I know some of you remember my telling you about my battle with agoraphobia, an anxiety disorder that brings about panic attacks in crowded places. You know, going into the grocery store, going to church, going to movies, driving on a highway, couldn't do them without getting a lot of panic attacks. And I struggled with that for 18 years, and I would pray about it constantly. And that was even before I had come to know the Lord and given my life to him. And when I did that, when I was about in my early 40s, I started praying differently. In the beginning, it was just, God, heal me, God, heal me, God, heal me. If you're there, God, are you hearing? Do you hear me? But after I came to know him, I said, I know who you are now, and I trust you. You're going to be my safe place. And he did heal me. And what the wonderful part of that is that Romans 8:28 tells us that he will work all things for the good of those who believe and are called according to his purpose. He will work it for good. And my prayers would change to, God, I know who you are, and I don't know why I have this affliction, but I have it. And if you want me to have this affliction for the rest of my life, okay then. Maybe I'll stay in my house longer and I'll read more Bible stuff. But that's okay, you know? But I surely wish that one day you'd heal me. And he did. And when he healed me, he didn't just heal me, he healed my mother. Because my mother had agoraphobia all her life. And when she saw what God, and my mother had never opened the Bible before in her whole life. But when she saw what God did in my life, she started reading the Bible. She died a year later of cancer, but she didn't have any fear. She told me just before she died, she said, Sue, I'm not afraid anymore. What a wonderful, God can take anything we have and he can work it for good. We just have to trust him, you know, but he doesn't always answer all of our prayers, does he? We know that sometimes we can pray for something. Maybe I would have been an agoraphobic for the rest of my life, but I was going to be content with that. But as you all know, and this is harder to tell you about and talk about, but a year and a half ago, our grandson committed suicide. And at that time, we knew that he was suffering from deep depression, and nobody seemed to be able to help him, nor would he agree to seek help himself. And we just started praying so hard, please, God, please save him, please, God, let it be your will that he be saved. I mean, at that point in time, I wasn't even saying, Lord, if you decide to take him, it'll be okay with me. I wasn't thinking that way. And God did take him, and he did die. And we had to hold on to our faith more strongly than we had ever had to hold on to anything before. But we had to remember who God was, who he is, the God of comfort and peace. One of Colby's friends said to me at the wake that he thought that I was being a really strong rock. He called me a rock. And I said, oh, good heavens, no, I'm not the rock, but I'm standing on the rock. You know, and that will get me through. So sometimes we need to believe in what's beyond what we don't understand. Do you believe that everything in your life is ordained by God? Yeah, it is. Psalm 139 says, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before even one of them came to be. Proverbs 20:24 says, a man's steps are directed by the Lord. How then can anyone understand his own way? And I believe that our human discernment and wisdom is limited. We don't understand all that takes place, and we certainly can't predict what the outcome will be. But everything is under God's control, and that's what we have to remember. He is sovereign. Everything is under his control, not ours. Proverbs 19:21 says, many are the plans in man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. I believe that trusting God is our only reasonable response. If we lose sight of him, we have nothing. We aren't standing on a rock. We're standing on shifting sands. I heard somebody say once, when I lost everything and all that I had left was God, I found that God was enough. And that needs to be, I think, in all of our lives. It's one thing to trust God. One commentary writer wrote this. It's one thing to trust God when the horizon looks bright. That's easy. But how much more difficult when the storm clouds start to gather? And we so often want to ask why. We want to know why. Why did this happen, Lord? What was your plan here? Like I'm in charge, right? And we want so desperately to know the answer, but guess what? We may never know the answer. But what we do know is that everything is in the control of our sovereign Lord, and everything is in the control of our independent, spiritual, immutable, eternal, simple, omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, holy, loving, wise, grace-filled and merciful, good, patient, righteous and just, truthful and faithful God. Let's pray. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we do have confidence, Father. No matter what lies in our futures, whether joys or disasters, we know that you walk with us. You even carry us when we can't walk alone. And we know that your Holy Spirit will fill us with unbounding strength, courage, and hope. We know, Father, that if we love you, then you live in us. And if you live in us, then we already have all that we need. And so we thank you now for the work we know you're already doing, because we know that you do not bring us to anything that you will not also give us the ability to walk through. And so we approach your throne of grace and glory, singing praises to your holy name, and we rejoice in the knowledge that you are always with us, that you stand as a tower of strength, and that you, Lord God, rejoice in our faithfulness. Amen. Thank you.